Welcome to the Inventory Nation podcast, a show designed to bring you the incredible voices and stories of veterinary professionals coast to coast, all while helping you to manage and control your inventory. I'm your host, Nicole Claussen, coach, advisor, and champion for veterinary teams and their inventory. Joining you live from the mountains of Montana, welcome to the show. Hello, welcome back to the Inventory Nation podcast. I am so excited that you're here. It has been kind of an extended break since we've had an episode here on the podcast, and I'm just so excited to get back to it with you. So later, last year, I got sick, lost my voice for a couple weeks, and then it was the holidays, and then I was out of the office. My sweet Tank, my soul dog, he passed away, so I took some time off to celebrate and honor his life and grief, because I needed some space after that. He was, I got him when I was in college, and you've probably seen him all over anything VetLogic related. And yeah, he was just the sweetest, goofiest little soul dog. Well, technically big soul dog, but you know. So anyways, with that being said, I'm just so glad to be back here with you. I hope you've had a really great start to the year. So let's go ahead and jump right into today's episode. So really what I wanted to talk to you about today is creating systems in your inventory and what that can do for you. So, you know, you may have heard me talk about it before, but I'm just a really big fan of creating structure and systems in our inventory and really our practice in general. Because, you know, day to day, our practices are busy and chaotic and unexpected enough, right? We have, you know, clients, we can't predict what happens with them. We can't predict what happens with our patients. You know, we can't predict if somebody's going to get sick or, you know, you're going to be short staffed or anything like that, right? It's hard to predict kind of a lot of the chaos that happens in our practice. So then when it comes to our inventory or our operations in general, setting up our systems can just provide such a structured, supportive framework and kind of a step-by-step plan, essentially, so that the things you can control, right? You know, ordering, receiving, all that kind of stuff, we have it documented and we know exactly what we're going to do. So then when the wheels come off the bus or a back order happens or, you know, a bottle of something breaks and now you're really short or somebody called out sick, you have these processes or systems that you can fall back onto. And, you know, as my dad says, everyone is singing off the same sheet of music. So that's what we're going to talk about today is, you know, really what are systems, how we can develop them, and then how I'm going to share with you a client of mine that we worked with. Her name is Emma, and she has three practices and how she really created systems and structure that work for her to maybe give you some inspiration to kind of create some of your own. So when we talk about inventory systems, I really like to think of it as an inventory system ecosystem, kind of a mouthful, but that's really what it is, because we're not necessarily creating these systems or structures in a silo. They are all kind of related together. So, right, we have our ordering processes that affect our receiving processes, that affect our, you know, how we sell our inventory, how we use our inventory, how we price our inventory. So they kind of all work together in this ecosystem. And so because I'm kind of just a visual person on top of it, I like to kind of think about it as a circular system on top of that. So all sorts of systems, if you will. Right. So we kind of start with, you know, demand forecasting and noticing if we're low and kind of just forecasting to kind of see what we need, what we're going to use, when and if things are low. And then, of course, we kind of move into our ordering systems, right? How, when, where, how often, how much are we placing orders for our particular inventory items? And then, of course, we move then to receiving. How are we receiving our inventory in our software, in our practice in general? How then are we pricing our inventory? How are we making sure that we are pricing our things effectively so that we are noticing if they are a competitively shop, a competitively shop product, or maybe that our costs keep, you know, going up and up and up. So we need to make sure that our prices are properly, you know, reflecting of that. So then, of course, we have our pricing and pricing strategically, those systems. Then, of course, we have like selling, consuming, using that inventory that we purchased. And then I like to also think about optimizing our inventory, right? Because sometimes, especially when we're like day to day, and we're, you know, we have requests for new products are coming out on the market. And so we kind of see this ebb and flow of new products and products that are falling out of favor and don't sell as well. And sometimes when we're kind of like in the day to day, it's hard to kind of see that and focus on what those might be. And so creating systems for optimizing your inventory can be super beneficial because it's a time and place and I guess space for you to kind of reflect on, is it working? Is it not working? Does this make sense to carry? Do we need to adjust something? Is it expiring? Kind of gives you a little bit of break in the day-to-day flow of that inventory item to be like, wait a second, hey, does this make sense? So that all of a sudden, you know, 5 years down the road, we don't have 23 different kinds of joint supplements, for example, where kind of really allows us to be intentional about what we do with our inventory. And then, of course, once our inventory is kind of like sold and or we've used it and it's now it's low, we need to reorder it. And so the system or this, you know, flywheel thing starts all over again, right? And now we need to order the item that was low. And so this is kind of like how you can start to think about, you know, of course, if it's helpful for you to think about how do you want to set up systems in your inventory. Now, just a quick break. I am hosting a free 5-day mini course called Fall in Love with Your Inventory. I'd love for you to join us. It's going to be 5 days. It's completely free. And I'm walking through different things to help you either fall in love or maybe make inventory not quite as overwhelming. So I'd love for you to join us. If you're interested, you can go to www.loveyourinventory.com and you can sign up, join for free, and you'll get the first lesson delivered right to your inbox. So that's kind of something new that's happening in the VetLogic world. And I'd just love for you to join us. So okay, so now that we've kind of talked about what an inventory system ecosystem is, what do we kind of like do from here, right? What is our next action step? And so I wanted to share with you my client name, Emma, where she had 3 locations when we worked together. Technically, now she has 4, and they're actually continuing to grow. And so one of the things that, you know, she came to me with is she was like, she just like felt like things were all over the place and there was no structure. She really didn't know when things were low, how to tell when they were low, even really what low meant. She would spend a day every week, you know, walking around at each location to see what was low. And she's like, I know there has to be a better way. I know that I can use Cornerstone better, but I don't know how to get there. And so, you know, fast forward to now, you know, she has Definitely more structure throughout her day, right? So we kind of mapped out a plan of attack so that at location A and B, she orders this day, you know, C and D, she orders that day. And then because she knows when she orders, when it can be received, and then we got her set up with, you know, different kind of structures and frameworks within each of those kind of sections. So we created some systems for her for knowing when things are low so that she doesn't have to rely on the want book. You know, I feel like this is one of the things, you know, myself personally, when I was an inventory manager, that absolutely changed the game for me. It was like the first thing that I did that I was like, wow, I think I might actually be able to do this. I might actually be good at this, and I might actually be able to know what I'm doing. So when both myself and Emma kind of made the switch between, you know, relying on people writing things down in the want book to other methods, it really provided such a sense of relief of knowing what to order, but then also having it quantified, right? Because when we say like, oh, when it feels low, we order it. You know, that is such a ambiguous thing, because different products can have different quote unquote lows, you know, and it's kind of a lot to expect our team to kind of know what low means for that particular product, right? Because let's say, for example, let's look at two different things. So let's say that we have trazodone and then we have amoxicillin, right? Trazodone, you're probably going through like water. Trazodone might be low when you have 400 tablets because you go through, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 plus a day. So your low level for trazodone might look wildly different than your low level for amoxicillin, which maybe you might sell 30 a month. And so to kind of expect our team to kind of understand those nuances on top of patient care can lead to kind of some breakdowns, because that's, you know, quite a bit to expect. And so that's why if we can quantify what low means so that we can identify what are those products that we are moving through like water, then how can we set up some type of flag to know, okay, this is low, and then this is how much I'm going to order. So that for sure was just the biggest game changer. And so going back to Emma, what we kind of set up for her is that, so she used Cornerstone as her practice management system. And so the first thing we did was get Cornerstone under control for each location. So we just worked to clean up her inventory, get that accurate first. And then she, you know, opted to use reorder points in Cornerstone to flag when things were low for things like pharmaceuticals, injectables, things that are tracked. And then for consumables, white goods, etc., she had, we used a combination of reorder tags, reorder bins, and then shelf labels for some things. And then she had kind of a retail area checklist. And then one of her locations did a lot more specialty surgery. So we put together a specialty surgery kind of like checklist, so that even though she wasn't super, comfortable with exactly all the different like pins and plates and, you know, yada, 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 she could still use that checklist and kind of know exactly what should be on hand for each particular surgery and et cetera. So that's kind of what we started with as kind of the baseline. So we really kind of worked to get her cornerstone under control. Then we added reorder points and reorder different reorder flags on top of that. And so that's kind of where we started with her. And, you know, she noticed a difference immediately, right? Because not only was it a sense of relief for her team, but she was able to say, okay, here's what we're going to do now. Rather than you need to write it down, here's kind of the alternative plan. And of course, there's a little bit of change management, a little bit of motivation and encouragement, and making sure that the habit sticks for those new things. But as time went on, it was a noticeable difference in the amount of frustration with her team because they knew exactly what to do. And then also, she was a lot less frustrated because she wasn't expecting and needing her team to write something down to know when it was low. So that made, you know, quite a significant difference for her. And then, you know, as time went on, what we did is we kind of refined, you know, the reorder point systems that we had set up. But then also we added in more for, you know, ordering, receiving, pricing, optimizing, all these other things so that she had systems through every single different aspect of her inventory. And from the second a product arrived to the second it left and basically everything in between, there was a system and a process for it. And let me tell you, she just did such a fantastic job with this that she actually got promoted several times. And then she actually needed to hire inventory assistants to help her because she had taken on kind of a wealth of more duties because turns out that she loved all the spreadsheets and kind of the investigative work and the formulas. And so she kind of was able to go in the direction of her zone of genius. And then she was able to easily delegate systems to other team members to kind of help monitor reorder tags, organized, different things like that. So kind of as her position grew and changed, she was also then able to easily delegate those to other people. So it really just, it's like one of my favorite things when it's like, you know, the light bulb moments go off and it's like, oh my gosh, I can do this. It might not be perfect. It might not be exactly how I want it to be right this second, but I will get there. And I know that by following, you know, these steps or these systems, I can help get it there. And so that is just kind of, you know, the power, if you will, of creating systems in your inventory. And I think sometimes when we think about systems or SOPs, right, we kind of think about, oh, SOPs, these are just things that was written by somebody and they just go out the window and they're not part of the real world when we get really busy. But I actually think about them in the opposite, right? Is I want to create these SOPs in this structure so that when things get super busy, when things get super chaotic, they're here for you, right? Rather than them going out the window, they're like, wait, this is actually here to support you in what you're doing so that if you're shorthanded, you need to be on the floor, you have ways of knowing when things are low that you can just place a quick order or you kind of have like this plan B, if you will, that you can always use. Then as your career evolves, your role evolves, or you want to take a vacation or, you know, have a day off without getting text messages, that you can do that because, you know, you're not, you know, your inventory strategy doesn't necessarily just live in your brain. Because when it lives in your brain, it's really hard for others to kind of help and support you in that process. And it makes it a lot more challenging to take a vacation. So that is you know, kind of how I like to think about and structure your systems and processes and your standard operating procedures. And if you're like, oh my gosh, Nicole, I don't have any of this set up and I want to, but I have no idea how to start. So the very first thing that I would do is, you know, if you're like, I feel like I need to have a million processes and set up a million systems, but I don't even know up from down. And that is okay, right? Everyone starts somewhere. And so I would say, if I was kind of like starting over from the beginning, I would definitely focus on reorder points and knowing when things are low outside of the wand book. Like, that's where I would start if I had to start from scratch as an inventory manager again. But you can also decide and kind of choose what is the most stressful part of your inventory and focus there first. If you're like sitting in your car before work and you're basically like dreading going inside because you're worried about what's running out or what's ran out or who's upset because something ran out, definitely start there, right? If people are upset because they can't find something, or, you know, your organization is like making your eye twitch, start there. If you feel like you're overwhelmed because you have so many products that seem to be expiring and they just don't stop, you can start there. And that is the nice thing, is you can kind of start with where you feel like it needs the most attention. And then once you kind of get comfortable with that, you've set up some kind of like system or process to make it go more smoothly, then you can focus on other areas next. And one of the things, you know, just kind of as a expectation for yourself, right, to think about and remember that it's not going to be fixed overnight. It's going to take some time, and that is okay. It's like a normal part of the process. I would be like shocked, almost like concerned shocked, if like, you know, it was like completely fixed tomorrow, right? It's kind of like, oh, okay. So it's going to take some time, and that is okay. It's going to take some trial and error and curiosity, and that is okay. One of the best things that you, you know, that is helpful in this process is having, you know, depending on what your role is having a practice manager or practice owner on your side, kind of like cheering you on, so that as these changes, as you're trying to do things better, maybe you need to course correct or do something a little bit differently, they're kind of like on your side advocating for you. You can bounce ideas off of them. They can kind of like help spread the word to the rest of the team about what you're working on, and really kind of helps the process go a lot more smoothly. So kind of like in summary here, so what is an inventory system ecosystem? That's kind of what I like to just call our system and structure of all the processes and SOPs and systems that we are setting up on our inventory, whether that's being for ordering or when things are low or when things come in, if we're tracking expirations dates, pricing, key performance indicators, optimizing our inventory, selling our inventory. So all of these things kind of work together in our ecosystem. And then kind of within our ecosystem, we have kind of our cycle of inventory that kind of flows and manages and monitors the movement of inventory in your practice. So that's something you can certainly start with for sure. And, you know, just keep in mind that creating these systems and processes aren't going to happen overnight. It's not going to be perfect the first time, and that is totally fine. And then just kind of remember, some of the stories that I shared of Emma or myself, of you know, these are how it could function for you. This is, you know, what might work well in your inventory. But just kind of as another side note, one of the things I've noticed is a lot of practices struggle with the same thing, right? So struggle with, you know, their inventory is unorganized or their practice management system is a little bit of a hot mess express, or, you know, they run out frequently. Sometimes and often that those problems are answered by different things, right? So one practice might really love their practice management system for reorder points. Another might love the tag system. And so if it might be different for you, and again, that's okay. It's just figuring out what works the best for you and your unique practice so that it's sustainable and long lasting. Because if we just put something together because we feel like, oh, this is how it should be, that might not work the best and it might not be lasting. But if we can kind of find the answers to the questions, or even, right, even taking a step back to be like, okay, what questions should I be asking to try and find the answer, and really trying to determine what works best for your unique practice, that will be 100 times better than just trying to do something because you think you should. Because a lot of times that doesn't give us the lasting results that we want. Maybe it can get us started in the right direction, but it's okay if, you know, your inventory, maybe you hate reorder tags, or you hate, I mean, hate, I guess is a strong word, but you like, no way, there's no way I'm ever using those. Or maybe you're like, I don't even have a practice management system. And so, you know, kind of finding what works is half the fun, I feel like. Because then when it does start working, it's like a dream. And you're like, what? I did not know it could be this. I don't know if like easy is the right word, but it just feels, it doesn't feel like you're hitting up against a bunch of resistance all the time, or chaotic. I think that's probably, so we can like lessen the chaos, lessen the resistance, and maybe our inventory systems might make our inventory easy and kind of fun, dare I say. So I would love to hear how your inventory systems are going, what you're working on. I'd love to hear all about it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, the first one after a couple months of taking a break. It's kind of fun to get back into the swing of things. I truly appreciate you listening, whether this was your first episode or you're a longtime listener. Don't forget, you can join me in the free course. Fall in love with your inventory. It's a free 5-day mini course. You can go to loveyourinventory.com to get all signed up. And I hope you have a great day, a great week, and I will see you for the next episode. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Inventory Nation podcast and spending your time with me. I know your time is valuable and in short supply, so it truly is an honor. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave a review. Be sure to visit vetlogic.co/podcast to access the show notes and discover additional links and resources. See you next time.